Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to invite you to a workshop that I am hosting the first week of June. This workshop is going to focus entirely on digital marketing. And the goal of this workshop is to help you bust through the confusion and overwhelm so that you can conquer digital marketing and grow your flower business. I am going to share with you in this workshop my step-by-step framework for leveraging digital marketing as a florist, and you will walk away with a personalized blueprint, clear action plan so that you know exactly where to focus your time, effort, and energy. And we're going to dive into understanding the most efficient and effective advertising platforms for you to market your business, how to leverage social media, and exactly where to prioritize your spending so that you can get your business in front of your dream customers. This workshop is being hosted online. Yes, if you can't join me live, there will be a video replay so that you can play catch up in your own time. I will leave the link to sign up to this workshop in the show notes so that you can grab your spot today. And then you get to join me on Zoom and we get to workshop your digital marketing plan and you get to make the most of the rest of 2024. So I would love to see you there. And I am so incredibly excited to host this workshop, share my process with you, and make sure that you are crystal clear on exactly what to do to get found by those dream customers. So visit the link in the show notes, grab your spot today, and I will see you at the workshop. Welcome to the Thrive Podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Drennan. If you're a floral designer on a mission to build a profitable and thriving business, then you're in exactly the right place. I'm on a mission to bust through the secrecy of our industry, make it easier for you to know exactly what to focus on to help you build your business, and teach you my favorite mindset hacks so that you can learn to show up with more confidence and authority as you grow your business. I am so grateful to be able to share my journey with you, pass along my best shortcuts, and get you on the path to feeling more confident and making money doing what you love. No matter where in the world you're tuning in from, remember, you've got this. Here's a thing that I firmly, truly, deep down in my bones live by, is that there's always something to learn and always new information to be gathered. For example, if you choose, hypothetically, to pick up your entire life, move halfway around the world to a country that you were born in, but you haven't lived in for 15 years, and you move to a city that has a, manifestation comes to mind, but like infiltration. Anyway, I'm sure that there's some academic word for it is overrun by deer. That is what I'm trying to communicate. So, interestingly enough, in the experience of learning how to garden with this new found animal in my front yard has been fascinating. One day I'll also talk about my frustration with the squirrels, but that's a whole other story, whole other learning curve. But here's what's something that I find so fascinating because it's so not what I thought. As a floral designer who knows a lot about flowers, it's so interesting to actually learn about the shrubs and the bulbs and the flowers that deer will eat and the ones that deer won't eat. So unexpected that deer won't eat peonies. Like, I know that there is probably some science and the genealogy of the peony family. And for those who are horticulturalists, I know you'll be able to tell me, or you might be able to tell me why that is the case, because they might be part of a certain specimen or species or something. But it's so counterintuitive to me. There are, like, in the neighborhood that I live in, there are a couple of houses where they don't necessarily have the biggest front yards, but they have taken these little triangles right near their driveway, totally exposed to the deer, and just filled them with peonies. And I'm like, that totally just
doesn't jive in where I thought peonies would fit in the will the deer eat them or won't the deer eat them. So fascinating to me. However, I'll tell you right now, that means that as of this season, as of 2023, and I am 42 years old, that means that I got to learn this piece of information that peonies, and I'm going to assume most varieties, many varieties, maybe there's some varieties that the deer will eat, but that means that at the good old age of 42, I got to learn that the deer may not eat your peonies, which is a great segue, great unintentional segue into what I wanted to talk about today, which is very specifically and very tactically 5 Instagram shortcuts that every floral designer needs to know. But the overall overarching concept to walk away with when it comes to anything to do with digital marketing is there's always something to be learned. And I know it's so easy to feel super intimidated, super scared, and we have this habit of beating ourselves up over not feeling comfortable with or not seeing ourselves as people who are open to learning about technology. But between the thought of nobody was born knowing how to do these things, and there's always something to learn, even if you're 42 and you're just learning that the deer may not eat your peonies, the same thing applies when it comes to digital marketing, any piece of technology, and even Instagram. So I wanted to very specifically just pass along 5 Instagram shortcuts to help you grow your flower business using Instagram. And even with the rise of TikTok and the rise of continual rise of more social media platforms, I cannot even imagine what I'll be talking to you guys about in the next 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. It'll be so fascinating. So fascinating. The rate at which technology is changing, it's this idea of really just accepting that digital marketing is an integral part of growing your flower business. No longer is it optional, because that's where the bulk of our customers are searching for a floral designer. So even with the evolving media landscape, ever any of you guys used to work in marketing? cringe. But this idea that there's always something changing, and Instagram is still an awesome way, to get found by high value customers. But, giant but, insert exclamation points, all of the attention grabbing emojis you could possibly imagine. Because how we get to approach Instagram as floral designers and how you get to approach Instagram to actually get customers to buy from you in your flower business gets to break a couple of very fundamental rules. So I wanted to take this podcast episode and talk you through how to approach Instagram, how to approach social media in general, and really just open up your perspective, because the strategy that we get to follow on Instagram really flies in the face of the very traditional marketing strategies that most Instagram teachers will teach you. And I just jumped on the Google and I typed in Instagram course, because I was so curious to see how many search results you get on Google when you type in Instagram course. I'm going to pause for a second because I would love for you to guess. If you guessed 2 billion, yeah, 2 billion. 2 billion search results if you jump on Google and type in Instagram course. But the thing, the very common thread with most of the Instagram educators is that they will teach you how to focus on engagement. And I just pulled out this example sales pitch from one of the courses, and this is literally how this course is being sold. Sign up today so you can get my proven stress busting plan to showcase you, your brand, and your message, all while converting followers into an engaged community and paying clients. Which sounds awesome, right? So many of us, myself included, would be like, that's totally what I need. 100%. I will give you my money so that you can teach me how to do this. However, if you go down the path of focusing on engagement on your social media platforms, what you'll end up doing is focusing on things like increasing comments, trying to create content that is shareable, focusing on how many likes you get on a post, a carousel, or a reel, focusing on things like saves, focusing on mentions, thinking about how many DMs you might receive, or looking at that very specific metric around accounts engaged. And all of those data points apply in so many industries and so many business models, but it's not how you're actually going to get found by the right customers in your flower business. And for me, in all of my experimentation around Instagram, I spent years chasing followers. And to be brutally honest, most of you already know this, but for me, that was as much about craving legitimacy. I had this notion in my head that if you had 1,000 Instagram followers, that I would automatically feel more confident. And then you hit 1,000 Instagram followers, and then you set yourself your next milestone because you realize you don't feel confident, even if you have 1,000 Instagram followers. And number two was because all the Instagram teachers are focused on increasing engagement, I thought, okay, well, that model must apply in my flower business as well. What I wanted to go through with you, in addition to giving you my 5 tips, was to talk through why, so that you can really understand the fact that you don't have to focus on the traditional engagement metrics. Because the thing about that list of engagement metrics, so comments, shares, likes, saves, mentions, DMs, accounts engaged, nowhere on that list does it account for inquiries received, orders taken, which is the whole point of the business. The whole point of marketing your business is so that you can generate inquiries and receive orders. That is the ultimate goal. So that whole very common kind of headline that comes to me at this very moment in time is the likes don't pay the bills situation. But because there's so much education and there's so much content out there that is being fed to us as business owners and we're looking for the right answer, it's so easy to believe that engagement is the solution. The perspective shift here that has been really helpful for me is putting my blinders on and learning to master the skill of thinking like your customer. And doing this in a very methodical, systematic, but simple way, so that you can dissect your customer's behavior, so that when you are thinking about what to focus on Instagram, you know all of the things that you can ignore, and you know the things that you need to focus on. So this is really helpful if you paint a picture for yourself and a very specific scenario. And it's super helpful to actually like slow down the entire experience and go through it step by step. And this example could be something like, let's say you are a doctor and you happen to live in Brisbane, Australia. And you have a wife and 2 kids, and you were born in Canada, so your mom lives in Vancouver. We're going to make the assumption that somebody in that household is going to order flowers for delivery to mom in Vancouver. In this instance, it might be the wife jumps on Instagram, and what she's going to do is not actually think about, oh, do I follow any floral designers in Vancouver? I should go look to see who I'm following, see if they are florists in Vancouver, and then I'll go and place my order for Mother's Day. That thought process is way too much for your average human to actually action. And because Mother's Day is a very specific event, and because human beings want to cross things off their to-do list, if they jump on Instagram, they're not going to be scrolling through the florists that they follow. What they're going to be doing is jumping on the search bar and typing in Florist Vancouver. In that pool of search results, they're then going to start to look through the content, and they're going to obviously click on the images, the reels, the graphics that actually appeal to them. If that florist has really been paying attention and dissected for themselves their customers' behavior, they will then have made it so simple and so incredibly obvious how to order flowers, so that that family could have actually placed an order within 3 to 4 clicks, having found a florist within the Instagram app, being taken over to that florist's website, order flowers on their phone. Thanks so much for coming. Cross it off the list. Even in that instance, it's very unlikely that that customer is going to remember to go back and be like, oh, I should go follow that florist. That is not how customers operate. But that's how we, and that's how I absolutely thought the process was supposed to go. If you grow followers, then you'll get more orders. The way you grow followers is to increase engagement. However, when you put yourself in your customer's shoes and you start to think like your customer, things start to make more sense. And you start to realize that the traditional teaching around engagement isn't going to necessarily help you actually get orders. Because this is about winning the search game, and this is about winning the content game, and making sure that it's as simple as possible to go from search term, relevant content, click to your website, order flowers. Thanks so much for coming. If you are the florist that has thought through that process, you're actually way further ahead, because what you get with that online order is obviously the sale, which is the whole point, but you also get that customer's email address, which means you can then compile your email list and send out an early bird notification, book your spot for Mother's Day, don't miss out celebration email to them in the weeks leading up to Mother's Day next year, the year after that, the year after that, and the year after that. Which means through this process of optimizing your content, optimizing your search, making it easy for people to order through your website, all of a sudden, you've created a customer that has way more value to your business and to your bottom line over the lifetime value of that customer than any one human who's going to go in and like, comment, share, or save one of your posts. It took me a really long time to wrap my head around that strategy. But it all starts with knowing and thinking like your customer. And being open to the fact that as a florist, you get to follow a different strategy. And follow a different strategy that actually is incredibly simple. Because it means when you're not focused on engagement, then you're not worried about creating content that's going to be shareable, creating content that's going to get lots of likes, getting content that's going to have lots of comments. What you get to create is content that's going to help you get orders, content that's going to help you get inquiries, content that's going to help you get subscription customers, content that's going to help you sell out your workshops. It's a different strategy, and it's going to actually help you grow your business. So all of that being said, I want to go through 5 very actionable, practical tips that you can take right now in your flower business so that the whole game of Instagram is so much simpler. And the first tip is create a content library. This is something that took me a really long time. A really long time, which I find ironic. I find it so ironic because in a past life, in my fancy corporate marketing career, in working in a marketing department. If you have ever worked in a marketing department, you guys will know that there is typically a stock photo library, there is graphic designers, there are images that have been captured from previous advertising campaigns, marketing campaigns, like there's a whole pile of content. And if you've ever worked in an advertising agency, then you'll know that like the concept of like the studio, right, where they actually go in an archive and there is a whole like content library. The irony is not lost on me that I spent years working in the tourism industry, and having a content library was something that you kept creating and managing every single year. So don't mind me in the fact that I did completely dismiss my past life and completely forgot about all of the previous skills that I had developed and concepts that I had worked with when I was working in marketing. But that's just minor detail. It's fine. We've recovered. We've come 180. We've all learned from these mistakes. But this idea of in your action plan, on your ongoing long-term to-do list, make it part of your plan to just continue to create a content library. One of the things I have found super helpful is that if there are any of those picture perfect moments, which I will tell you right now is few and far between, really planning ahead, thinking about it, and just making it part of your regular routine to create content. And this doesn't need to be like I need to get fully dressed up, do my hair and makeup, and look fancy all of the time. But this is really thinking about, oh, okay, if I'm going to the wholesaler on my list, in addition to picking up 5 bunches of Queen Anne's lace and my quicksand roses, and I need to get 3 of those containers and that colored ribbon, put on your list, I need to capture 30 to 60 seconds of video footage. It doesn't have to be the world's greatest content. You don't even necessarily need to know exactly how you're going to use it, but just building that habit, building that routine for yourself so that you get into the practice of creating a content library. This separating out the capturing the footage, capturing the photo from the creating of the reel or creating of the content to post online, breaking out that process for me has been so helpful. Because there were times, and I think I don't know how many hours of my life I've wasted just staring at the app going, I don't know what to post. Between kind of arguing with myself, debating with myself between the image that I was going to post and what to write in the caption, I just completely got paralyzed. And this exercise of just starting to build the skill set of creating an ongoing content library. So it can be things like if you're doing a market unpack, a wholesaler unpack, or processing flowers, just get in the habit of building or setting up a time lapse. If you are designing something, get in the habit of setting up your camera. And again, it could be a time lapse, it could be real time, it could just be a 30-second pan of what's happening across your workbench. If you have a shop front and you've gone through and you've set up all your product, or you've done a restock of something, or you've cleaned something out and tidied something up, go and just capture 30 to 60 seconds of content and just start to build the content library. That exercise of just having that as one task then makes the process of editing a video and creating a post so much easier. So that's number one, building the habit of creating a content library. Number two, I want to give you permission to repurpose and repeat imagery and footage again and again and again. For me, one of the biggest blocks that I had was this idea that every single post that I put out on Instagram needs to be unique and different, and it needs to be the single most revolutionary post I've ever made, because then I'll get famous and then I'll get lots of customers. I say that with complete seriousness because that was my thought process, right? I put the world's pressure on my shoulders to be like, this post needs to be perfect because then maybe I'll get discovered by Hello May magazine and I'll get featured on the cover and then I'll get famous. Not happening. Didn't happen. No plans to make it happen. However, it's so helpful if you go back to your fundamental training in terms of design and being a designer. If you've ever taken a floral design course from a very traditional place, if you've ever taken any sort of design course, right? It could even be graphic design, architecture, like all of that creative formal training that you have, you will know that one of the fundamental elements of design is repetition. The things really started to make more sense in my head when I realized that one of the fundamental principles of good design is repetition. The human brain loves repetition, and the human psyche feels a lot of safety in repetition. So really looking at your Instagram feed and embracing the fact that you can use the same content again and again and again and again, A, because it's super efficient and super smart, but B, it actually creates a sense of safety and calm with your clients. They won't know why they feel that way, but that repetition actually creates like a visceral reaction in your customers. So permission granted to repeat your content as much as you'd like. I'll tie into that as well. That is just a general reminder that your Instagram feed is just simply a marketing platform. It doesn't have to be a direct documentation of what's happening in your flower business on this exact day. Did you know that even if you did an event from August of last year, and right now it's May, June of this year, that you could actually still use that content? What? Nobody says you have to post in real time, right? This is just a very intentional, purposeful way to market your business to attract customers. So that's number two, is don't ever, ever hesitate to repeat footage or repeat images. Repeat your graphic headlines, repeat whatever it is that you want, because it saves time, but it also actually creates a very emotional connection with your customers. Number three, the format that I love to follow on Instagram is a very simple Q&A framework. This was one of the shortcuts I created when I started to realize how many questions and how many things flower customers don't know, and they don't know how to ask them. And most humans put the weight of the world on their shoulders, particularly when it comes to talking to a florist, and they think that they should know the things. Human beings think that they should all know the things. So then you, as the floral designer, are like, why is my customer not just like asking me for advice or asking me questions or asking me to share my expertise? They don't know that they're allowed to. But if you flip the perspective and decide you get to use your content as a way to educate and answer their questions, as simple as that sounds, use your Instagram content to answer their questions. And it can be quite literal and quite specific. And if you're ever short of ideas in terms of what to post on Instagram, just think back to the very last question you got asked. And I mean that very literally. Do you do deliveries on a Saturday? When are peonies in season? Do you guys do funeral flowers? Hey, my daughter's getting married. How much should we budget for wedding flowers? Hey, if we wanted to send something that was a bit more bright and cheerful to a sympathy or a funeral, is that appropriate? Quite literally, just take the last question your client asked you. Then take the question and use that as your text on the graphic, on your carousel, or on your reel. So just literally take that question. Do you do Saturday deliveries? Put that as your text on the video. Answer the question in the caption. Even better than that, what you actually use as your visual in that content doesn't have to have anything to do with deliveries. It could be a time lapse of you unloading the van. It could be a time lapse of you processing buckets of snapdragons. And all you have to do is write a title on the reel that says, do you do deliveries on Saturdays? And then answer it in the caption. That framework of question, answer, A, makes it super simple to create content, but B, is so incredibly helpful for your customers. Because if you think like your customer and put yourself in your customer's shoes, they're walking around thinking, oh, I should know all these things. Meanwhile, you're the helpful florist, and they're like, wow, this person really knows what they're doing. So good. Number four. Yes, we're at number four. This is your reminder to drop the need to worry about engagement. Truly, we get to play a different game. And it is so helpful if you grab a pen and a piece of paper and you just really think through. Think about who your ideal client is and really just map out for yourself step by step exactly what they would be doing. You will gain so much insight for yourself that will make playing the Instagram game so much easier. And then tip number five, because we don't have to worry about engagement, what you're going to do is prioritize search. And this is where, if you have done any search engine optimization on your website, all of that actually will become in your advantage because you just get to follow exactly the same philosophy on Instagram. So what you're going to do to optimize your bio is that in your actual name, right, the name that you have listed, not your Instagram handle, but the name that you have listed, make sure that you have your city florist. Or if you really want to be innovative, you could go florist your city. But making sure that that's in there, because that's a really important function of the search algorithm. And then the second thing is, when you're writing your captions, although this may feel awkward when you're writing it, in addition to using your hashtags, in the actual caption itself, in the words that you use to write your caption, make sure you use the key search terms that your customer would use. So that, again, might be florist your city, or your city florist, or wedding flowers insert venue, right? Really just focusing in on adding that sentence into your caption will help with your search results. So that's five tips to help you get customers on Instagram. And most importantly, remember, we don't have to play the engagement game. We're not here to win the popularity contest. So please take these shortcuts, put them to work in your flower business, and remember, Instagram's allowed to be fun. I promise. Okay, my friends, please drive safe. Drink your water. I was about to say drink your vegetables. I mean, that's optional. You can. If you're lucky enough to have a juicer, drink your vegetables. Eat your water. If you're not, you could be like the rest of us. Make sure you drink your water, eat your vegetables, get some sleep. I love you, and I'll talk to you again later. Bye for now.